Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at women's reproductive rights from the right and the left, from a mother and a daughter. On the program today, Elisa and Patty Caparata. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Sean McGinnis, and John Griffin. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
And our 2010 TV spot, we wow them with stuff they don't need. Like a year supply of fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
In 2010, we triple our profits with a new thing we call a website. They get fruitcake, a pooch, and a health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're going to have a discussion on women's reproductive rights today with a mother and daughter team, and famous ones at that. Patty Caparata is the former state treasurer, and Elisa Caparata is the president and CEO of Nevada Advocates for Planned Parenthood Affiliates. Welcome to both of you to come to the program and have this discussion. We've never had a mother-daughter team to debate before. Let's start out. What do you think the need is, Patty, for comprehensive sex education in our school system?
Wow, comprehensive sex education.
Yeah.
We're really going back. I think there are a lot of people who object to sex education in schools.
Do you?
Yes.
Why?
I think there are a lot of religious reasons, discussions and feelings about this is something that should be taught at home and not in the schools, because you have different values as to life and morality, and some parents would rather teach it at home.
Your thoughts?
Well, I obviously support comprehensive sex ed in the schools, and in Nevada, we're one of only three states that requires a parental opt-in. So those kids who don't have parents around, they're actually missing out, which is one of the reasons we have the second highest teen pregnancy rate in the country and the STD rates that we have. And I guess I would say, yes, of course, parents have different values, and what we find is that this gives very basic information to kids who aren't having those conversations at home at all, but for the kids whose parents really have specific values, they actually go home and say, hey, could you sign this sex ed thing, and then parents have the opportunity to tell their kids about their values, and then in the class they get the plumbing and the technical basics, and you know, birth control's changed a lot over the years, and it's hard to keep up with all that stuff.
What do you think about us having the second highest teen sex rate in the nation?
Pregnancy.
Good grief.
Pregnancy rate.
We don't know. There's a measure for that.
I wasn't aware that was the case.
But does that concern you, that the education component, you know, even with what's going on, that we still have this high rate, despite parents being able to give their kids their moral rights, you know, of the parents and values?
I think it all goes back to family and personal beliefs. And so I...
But when you look at our society the way it is, you know, just off the bat, there are so many people working in the service industry that have to work maybe one or two jobs. Both parents are working. The amount of homeless kids we have in the state, the parents, even if they wanted to be, just aren't there. Does that matter?
I think that's a real damnation on family life and parents. You know, parents do the best they can, and I don't think that the school should be imposing some sort of liberal agenda on family life.
Do you think it's a liberal agenda?
What we promote is basic, comprehensive, medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education. I think that the abstinence-only money that started coming in the George Bush era was sort of had a philosophy with it that you had to specifically teach that sex inside of a committed marital relationship was the only normal thing, even though 90-something percent of Americans have sex before they get married. So that was a sort of philosophically driven agenda, and ours is what we promote is medically accurate information.
Okay, do you agree that that was a politically driven thought?
I think it all goes back to government interference in people's private lives, and I think that this is one that we just don't need as much as we have now, and it's all been imposed.
But are there any areas that the government should, through schools, obviously education is education.
Right, but we didn't used to do this. We used to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think we ought to go back to that.
Well, in today's era of, you know, computers and technology, and it needs to be science and technology and math and reading and writing. But the world has changed dramatically. So, and if the conservatives really felt that, you know, the government should stay out of our lives, then they shouldn't have tied, you know, billions of dollars to abstinence-only education and said to states, you know, we'll give you money to teach our philosophy, and we won't give you money to teach medically accurate sex education. So our point is that one of the things that we're talking about in this election is that although conservatives talked about one thing, what we're saying is that they sort of cherry-pick where they apply the philosophy. We want government out of our lives, but we'll pay you to teach this values-laden sex ed that we promote.
Can you defend that?
Well, I think if you just didn't spend any money on sex education at all, we'd all be better off. And the idea that, well, this is the counterbalance. This is what the conservatives came up with was, you know, okay, if you're going to teach it, then let's teach all of it. Not let's just teach some of it that you like.
Well, that would be great if they, taught all of it. But abstinence only specifically wouldn't let you teach about birth control. It only let you teach birth control failure rates. And so, what the study showed is that kids who got abstinence only education, what they did was they started having sex at the same time, but they'd been told so many times that condoms and birth control didn't work that they didn't use them. Whereas kids who got the medical information understood their failure rates with every kind of medicine and side effects, all that. They understood that so they could make a reasonable choice.
All right, let's take a break so people can start writing their letters and making their phone calls to my office. We'll be right back with this discussion on Nevada Newsmakers.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
On Harry Reid's watch, Nevada's unemployment rate has shot past 14%, highest in the country. Our foreclosure rate is highest in the nation. Home values have dropped almost 50%. Those aren't just numbers. They're people who've lost their jobs, families who've lost their homes. Harry Reid's dragged Nevada down to perhaps its lowest point ever. And he wants to call me an extremist? I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad you did.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, an interesting family discussion here from the left and the right with Patty Cafferata and Elisa Cafferata. Half of pregnant kids come from abusive parents or have an abusive partner. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
When I was preparing in the last legislative session for a bill on dealing with women and their pregnancies, I learned that the number one cause of death for pregnant women is their partner. It is partner abuse. And that was shocking to me. We don't do a very good job of saying, you know, if you really want to protect families, you need to do a lot more in the domestic violence arena. So, the OBGYN Association actually has a whole paper on how to help women get into prenatal care so that they can carry their pregnancies to term in a healthy way, and also provide interventions for them if there is partner violence. So it's a big concern, and birth control sabotage is one thing that partners sometimes will do to their to the women in their lives, and then use that as an excuse for violence. So it's actually a huge concern to us. And if candidates are pro-family, we want them to understand this is a real phenomena.
Your thoughts on this?
Well, domestic violence is something I prosecuted, so I certainly agree with the level of violence against women in our state, in the country, is something that's bad and should be prosecuted.
Let me ask you about the abortion debate. What is the role, if any, that the government should play in abortion, or the lack thereof?
Well, I think we've had a big sea change in the abortion debate since Roe v. Wade, back in the 70s. You know, before, it was states had an option as to whether outlaw it or not, or put restrictions on it. And since then, of course, there have been very few restrictions, and a lot of people have resented that and still resent it. It's certainly still an issue, and we're talking 40 years later.
Your thoughts?
Before Roe v. Wade, of course, women had abortions, and they have since the dawn of time and the dawn of medicine. And what Roe v. Wade did was say, it doesn't matter what state you live in, you have a right to a safe, legal abortion if your doctor recommends it, or if that's the choice that you make with your family and your clergy. And really, the vast majority of Americans, when you ask them, are they pro-life, half of Americans will say pro-life and half will say pro-choice. But if you ask them, should we make it illegal and start throwing women in jail or doctors in jail, the vast majority say no. That's no. It should be legal. It should be safe. And if your doctor, if that's a choice you make with your doctor, you should have the right to do that.
One of the things that's occurred across the country, though, is that the pressure on doctors who perform abortions has just been incredible, and to where they have to operate in literally fortified conditions.
Yes.
How much is this affected the ability for women to get abortions if they want?
I think 70 to 80% of women live in counties that don't have an abortion provider, so you have to travel great distances, you have to have great expense, and, you know, candidates on the right have been chipping away at the right to abortion, you know, 24-hour waiting periods, biased counseling, forced ultrasound viewing. You know, I keep saying if we, or there's several people who say, you know, if we started talking about men's testicles like this and saying, well, now you have to, you know, we're going to force you to look at a picture, or we're going to tell you how awful it is that you have a vasectomy or whatever, I mean, it just would never fly. But to be able to single out women, you know, who are in making very challenging choices for their families and say, you know, we're going to force doctors to tell you these things. I mean, it's outrageous that, you know, women have to undergo this punishment to get a legal medical procedure.
Do you think it's a punishment?
No, I don't. You know, it's the women who are having the abortions, not men, you know, for openers. And the concern that people have on the pro-life side is that as a government policy, we are allowing women to kill babies. And, you know, it's nice to talk about fetuses, but they're really babies. And as a government policy, to allow women individually on their own to kill their babies is a bad public policy.
Your response?
Well, medically, they are fetuses. And when women get pregnant, they have there are several possible outcomes to a pregnancy. You know, you can hope, you know, carry it to term if that's a desire. You know, more than a third, maybe 50% of early pregnancies end in miscarriage. And abortion is a choice that is, again, a legal choice in this country because women will get them. And, you know, the interesting thing that folks who focus on family or these values maybe don't realize is that 60% of women who have abortions already have children. And so they are mothers, they do have a family, and one of the largest motivations for women choosing to terminate a pregnancy is that they want to be good mothers and they want to be there for the children that they have. And so that is why they make that choice, and they know exactly what they're doing. They already are mothers.
Okay, Patty, you get the last word.
I disagree that it's being a good mother is to kill your baby.
All right, that's where we're going to leave it. Ladies, thank you so much for doing this, and please leave here in peace. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
If you or a loved one was diagnosed with mesothelioma or any other asbestos-related cancer, call now. Mesothelioma is a rare cancer, one of many linked to asbestos exposure. Exposure to asbestos in mills, shipyards, or in the heating, construction, and automotive industries may have put you at risk. Secondhand exposure to people close to you may have also resulted in mesothelioma. Please don't wait.
Call 1-800-893-7993. That's 1-800-893-7993. I'm a non-attorney spokesperson for James Sokolov, Wellesley, Mass.
Sharon Angle's new attack ad. More crazy talk and outright lies. This fence? It's Harry Reid who got 400 miles of new barriers, 4,000 new border agents, drones, even the National Guard. And Reid never has and never will support Social Security for illegal immigrants. He wrote the bill opposing it. Remember, it's Sharon Angle who says she'd wipe out Social Security and Medicare, and Harry Reid who's protecting it for Americans.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
In Nevada, 6 out of 10 people who apply for Social Security disability benefits are denied. If you cannot work because of a permanent disability or illness and have been denied, call us. Because we're here in Nevada, we'll meet with you personally and find a doctor for your claim. At Shook and Stone, we'll guide you through the Social Security process and get you the money you deserve. Shook and Stone, make the law work for you. Call us.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, I'm Ray Hager with the Reno Gazette Journal, and welcome to our pundit panel. Today we have John Griffin of the Capital Company, Sean McGinnis of Lewis & Rocha, and Larry Mathias, the Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. Welcome to y'all. John, let me start with you. Recently, Assemblyman Morse Arbery was tried to become the lobbyist for the judges, but that was nixed by the Clark County Commission. Assemblyman Arbery, who was the chairman of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee, it just resigned his office before this vote came up. And do you think that there's something intrinsically wrong with this? Should there be maybe a cooling off period for lawmakers before they go into a lobbying position?
Yeah, I think it was handled the best it could have been handled. I think you know, there's a couple bills already proposed that I've seen for this next session for a cooling off period. I think it's probably a good idea. I think the reality is after the 2009 session, absent a special session, all the legislators that were term limited were done. So I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, Moose Arbery was not sitting on all sorts of subcommittees, and there wasn't special sessions where he was right in the mix of handling major state policy. But I mean, I do think a cooling off period is necessary.
Sean, what is the public perception, do you think, when a lawmaker vote, you know, elected by the electorate, goes right into lobbying right after their term is done?
Well, I think, you know, that's exactly why you're asking the question. I mean, the perception is like, hey, wait a minute, you know, is there something that he knows? Does he have some contacts and some ability? Is there something untoward going on? And like John said, I don't think there's anything like that in this situation. But that being said, a cooling off period does make sense. It is good public policy. I mean, you see it with like some state agencies, for example, you know, the Gaming Control Board. If you're a Gaming Control Board member, you know, there's a cooling off period before you can represent clients that have matters pending before you. There is a period of time, and maybe something like that needs to be put in place for
the
legislature.
Larry, Assemblyman Arbery said it was necessary to strike while the iron was hot.
Well, it certainly was hot. I think the perception really is a serious one. This was the judges who were hiring the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee to secure their salaries. I think the perception of that is pretty clear among the public, that's wrong. That, I mean, it would be wrong even if it was 2 years after the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee was out in the private sector, that there is something about governments lobbying government for money that creates an unseemliness. And when you have legislators who have built up positions and who built up IOUs and who built up reputations being then hired to go back to the body that they were from, there is always the perception that there's improper influence being exercised.
But John, I mean, if you get a former legislator being a lobbyist, he or she can open the doors to so many people that you know, can influence final votes on bills.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Nevada's still a small state. I mean, we have 60, you know, handful of legislators, a handful of committee chairs. It's not as if but only former legislators can open doors. And you know, frankly, it cuts both ways, I think, because a lot of former legislators don't leave the body having 65, 64 wonderful friends. I mean, they have a fair amount of enemies too. And there's other lobbyists that you could probably look around and there's not a lot of enemies.
And most former legislators, most former government officials, what they do is they don't go into formal, paid-for lobbying activities. They advocate. They go there for nonprofits, for charities. And those are good things. We don't want to discourage that. But it's especially in the era of term limits, they're careers are cut short. They now panic about what they're going to do next and how they're going to make a living. And it's a time that everybody in the political field and in government has to be very careful about the public perception, because the public is pretty sour on the trust factor in government.
Well, you know, speaking of this, is that you know, the cooling off period for lobbyists, it's at the heart of the John Ensign scandal with Doug Hampton, because he went and lobbied before the congressional cooling off period had expired. But let me change the subject now, Sean. Both gubernatorial candidates say that they're not going to raise taxes, but the over under for
taxes raised? I'd put it at $1.5 billion. Are you over or under with $1.5 billion? What do you think?
Probably a little bit over. I mean, it seems like, you know, again, it's like a mathematical equation. I mean, you know, it's almost like you're asking the electorate to take a math test, and you're trying to get to this result, but there's no real way to make it there without a plus number being added in. Now, people are trying to be creative. Their ideas being floated around of changing the sales tax rate, maybe expanding the sales tax base, but lowering the sales tax percentage to see if that might help do some things, and maybe that's a way to sort of say there is no new taxes, it's just a reshuffling, but there does have to be, you know, some sort of addition to the
okay.
tax base.
John, you got the last word, $1.5 billion over and under for this next legislature.
I'll disagree with Sean. I think it'll go under. I think I would predict that potentially the economic forum numbers come back better than expected, which then gives some leeway. But it really comes down to, I mean, if I was going to get called on the carpet, what's a tax and what's a fee and what's rating what fund? So really, we'll never know who wins, right? Because how do you gauge it?
Okay, well, that's why you can't bet on,
that's
on
right.
politics in Nevada. We'll be right back after these few messages to wrap up Nevada Newsmakers.
On the next Face to Face, she's not on the U.S. Supreme Court anymore, but former Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is issuing opinions in person right here on Face to Face. Find out why the first woman appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court says judges should be appointed.
Nevada. We've seen boom and bust. We're not spoiled or looking for a handout. But every time Sharon Angles asked to save or create jobs, she says,
no, no.
No, I would not.
I would have voted no.
Government does not provide jobs.
It shouldn't.
It
wouldn't.
It can't.
No.
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 So when times are tough and the only answer is,
no.
Shouldn't.
Can't.
How's that working for us? Patriot Majority USA Fund is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
It's iMasters Buy One, Get One Free Sale. Choose any frame and combine it with any lens, then get a second pair free. Only need one pair? Any frame, even designers, are only $59.95. The choice is yours. iMasters. Why pay more?
There's nothing like having the convenience of finding everything you need in one location. The factory stores at the Y is the perfect shopping experience. Adidas has the newest sportswear for him or her. Great-looking training apparel plus the hottest styles in footwear and clothing to fit your active lifestyle this summer. Blue Willow has everything you need this summer to dress up your home with the perfect combination of gifts and home decor. Find that special gift for that special someone at Blue Willow. Find it all right here at the factory stores at the Y, Highway 50 and 89 in South Lake Tahoe.
Imagine, you've been abused by your spouse. You get a restraining order and move your family to Nevada, thinking you're safe. In the state assembly, Sharon Angle voted to prevent restraining orders from other states from being enforced in Nevada. It would have made Nevada a safe haven for domestic abusers. Thankfully, other legislators weren't so extreme because Sharon Angle sided with the abuser, not the abused.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also go to iTunes and download podcasts of the show, both audio and video podcasts. On the next broadcast, we are very honored to be able to talk to retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. It'll be quite the show. We'll see you then.